And thank you again to everyone that's helped us open the meeting by doing a reading. I was going to welcome any visitors, but they disappeared. But yeah, welcome those that have joined us since we first started. I'm glad that you're here. And I'm delighted to say we do have a speaker this evening who's going to share their experience, strength, and hope for us for 40, 45 minutes. Just recently celebrated a milestone in our recovery. And I'm going to hand you over to the lovely Lisa, who's going to introduce them.
Oh, thank you, Steve. Hi, everyone. I'm an addict. My name's Lisa.
Hello,
Hey,
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa.
Hi, everyone. I am very honored and very privileged to introduce to you our amazing speaker this evening, who has, yes, recently celebrated a major milestone in their recovery. Somebody I get the pleasure to do service with every week, and just a really kind and encouraging, supportive person in my recovery. So I'm going to hand you over to Barry. He's going to share with us for 40 to 45 minutes. Whatever you're comfortable with, Barry, over to you.
Thank you, Lisa. My name is Barry and I'm an addict.
Hi,
Hi,
Barry.
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 Hi, Barry.
I think all day my brain's been going 40 minutes. 40 minutes. My God. And then Lisa said 45 or whatever I'm comfortable with. Maybe five. It's funny. It's like the longer I stay clean, I feel like the less I have to say. And I mean that in all ways, like, the less that I have to say, like it's, I kind of feel that so much stuff has passed that I find myself not having to explain everything so much and just maybe, and I get this from other people as well, like just in the tone of the voice or the way things are being said, I kind of get what's being carried to me, what message is being carried to me. This is what I kind of thought about on and off today, really. That's why the 40-minute thing seemed like what? Even though, I guess it's a nice time that you can cover the everything that's gone on in recovery, from using to staying clean and working the steps and getting a higher power on board, and different changes that have happened throughout 34 years is what I'm celebrating. 2 days ago I was 34 and I was really quite overwhelmed, like more than I've been for a while on a birthday. I think there's been a lot of changes for me personally, and just a lot of growth as well, I think. And I think I just felt the most incredible surge of gratitude. And I could feel myself almost like going back to certain things, like when I was using that I thought were dead forever, if you like, including me. The fact that I thought that I would never, ever be able to get clean. I was the the tragically hip, fatally cool school. And I was and still am in an industry where, drugs are rife, and I guess that's with a lot of industries these days. But there was a sort of pass that you got, almost like, oh yeah, of course, come in, and you would turn up for work and people would bring drugs to you and all this sort of stuff, in the background, of course, my life was completely falling apart. And the idea of powerlessness and unmanageability, I could not see. Of course, when I that was the thing that got me, that to the penny dropping on being powerless and my life being so unmanageable. And I guess, that was sort of the beginning of these 34 years as well, because, I talked about that idea of feeling dead, and that everything that I wanted in life was gonna disappear from me. And in some ways, some of it did as well. I had a very towards the end of my using, I lost both of my parents and my sister in a 2 year period. And it struck me in this way where I just was completely, of course, traumatized by grief. And I, you know, the only thing that seemed to be helping me stay together was using it, but in fact it was having the opposite impact on me. It was escalating the trauma even more, because, you know, everything I was doing to sort of try and process the grief wasn't working at all. And so there was no process, except I was going like inward into my own mind, and my mental health was completely falling apart, you know. And it's funny because it's around this time of year that my sister died first, then my mum and my dad. And it was such a kind of awful family tragedy, you know. She had both of her legs amputated before she died, like 2 weeks later. And I really remember, my mum saying, you know, "Oh, you know, Barry, why can't you be there for me at a time like this?" And I didn't quite understand what she was saying. I was there, sat in the room. So what was she on about, you know? And then, of course, you know, I responded to that by going out to school, because that was the only thing I knew. I had no, you know, compassion and empathy. Nothing had been developed in that way except for myself, you know, and that wasn't compassion, empathy, it was just self-centeredness, you know, the getting and finding and using in ways and means to get more. All of that stuff is brilliantly true, you know. And I guess, you know, some of that's touched me. I was in a meeting the other day and I was saying how I was, you know, affected by this, and how we used to listen to music together. And, you know, my sister kind of like almost kind of schooled me in certain styles of music and this sort of stuff. And a record came on the television on an advert and I completely broke down, you know. But it was beautiful. It wasn't like pain. It was like connection. And that's something that's happened over this time of staying clean. You know, my connection to people, places, things, events, myself have grown, you know, and I've seen them flower and flourish, and I realize as well that it's just the beginning. That's something that struck me as well the other day. I was like, wow, you know, there are certain things, you know, every time I go through the steps, every time I do something to try and aid a personal growth, which usually is the steps, connecting with my sponsor, working through things with a higher power, you know, I realized that, like, wow, this is like, you know, I remember I had a sponsor the first couple of years who would say to me, you know, it's about small victories, you know, embrace the small victories. And, you know, and this has been happening in ways that I kind of go, that's new. This is a new thing, which means it can grow more because I'm only just seeing it now, you know. I'm sort of laying out a fourth step update. I did one a few years ago, but there's certain things that have happened that, you know, I sort of feel that I want to address, that there's certain things I don't want anymore in my life because I'm starting to see that they're a hindrance. I'm starting to see the way certain social things and certain things that, you know, I can almost see that I need to change them. And the only way I know to change them is through working the steps. And already, just from writing out the resentment list, you know, I can see, like, you know, the areas that's tapped into. Basically, you know, that in there, that there are people who've had stable family lives, and I've gone, ah. And I learned something recently. Somebody said to me that, wow, it's interesting that, you know, resentment is seemingly from the anger family. And I agreed, you know, that's always been the case. And they said, well, actually, it's quite possible that it's from the envy family. And I was like, how can I? And I started to go through that different things. And in this, just this, you know, outline I'm making already, I can see how envy plays an incredible part of that, and especially in like the stable family life. and people that have been successful through having what seems to be a stable family life. It wasn't blown apart in their early 20s, which mine was. So I see like the way my addiction's working to isolate me from that person and to judge that person for having the thing that I've not fully possibly accepted in myself. So that already is like a new thing and a great, you know, revelation and something that I can continue to grow and work with and let go of that, you know. And just sort of looking back, there's just been remarkable moments in my recovery, you know, and like just the idea of knowing that I couldn't stay clean and then getting one day clean and going to a meeting on the 22nd of December and sitting there and the guy doing the chair told my story pretty much. He'd been to a treatment center, come out and relapsed. I felt such shame about that. I thought I deserved to not be here because, you know, there I was 8 weeks away, you know, in this rehab. But what happened to me is that I needed to see that the first step, you know, that I was powerless, that my life was unmanageable, that I couldn't, you know, when it came to it, control my use of drugs, that the obsession and compulsion were there all the time, and that I had to work, you know, with a higher power and ask for the obsession and compulsion to be removed and to admit and accept that I was powerless. And then I got one day clean when that happened. You know, 5 years before that, I was in a psychiatric hospital. That's where my using it took me, to a particularly awful suicide attempt, which wasn't long after my sister died. And in that psychiatric unit, a friend of mine came and said, my brother is in NA. And I was like, what's NA? And Narcotics Anonymous, it's like meetings and people go and they talk about their stuff and they stay drug free. And I was like, very, you know, incredibly skeptical, of course. And they came along with the Am I an Addict pamphlet and gave it to me. And I can remember sort of like slightly reeling in horror because I could answer every question with a yes. And then I looked at this person and they didn't look like what I, in my mind, you know, thought, you know, was an addict, or how using addicts were, you know, around each other, shifty and kind of looking to make, looking to take, looking to break, you know, all this sort of stuff. And he spoke the language. He spoke the same language, like he knew, like just certain things in the conversation, you know. And something went in. I definitely think, you know, although it took me a few more years to get it, you know, it took me a few more years and seeing somebody else get it who I used with, and seeing that there was a light that came on in their eyes, which wasn't there before. And I thought, that is incredible, because I've used with this person. I know what they're like, and they're telling me that things have changed, and that this, you know, that what's working for them is going to meetings and staying clean for one day at a time, which I just didn't believe was possible. So anyway, at my first meeting, I'd used when I came out of rehab, which was the rehab that this person recommended that I go to. And I felt this awful, you know, shame that I messed it up, you know, that people went and got clean and came out and then lived these lives, you know. And of course, the speaker at the meeting said that I was in rehab, I came out and I used straight away on the way back. And I was like, what? And I was like, wow, you know. And I started to hear things like listen for the similarities and not the differences, and just these wonderful like slogans that we have, which really mean a lot. They really meant a lot to me when I was new around, you know, and they still do now, but particularly then it helped me to feel included rather than that you know, coming in and looking straight away at everyone and going, you're not like me, and then walking out the door. It helped me to sort of be a part of something that was going on that could possibly help me stay clean. And so, you know, there, you know, I got a couple of days, and then I was staying with these friends of mine, and it was like today, 34 years ago, Christmas Eve. And so everyone went to their families, and I didn't have a family to go to. So I was there, like in this house on my own, and just going, okay, what do I do now? This is the time to use, probably. And I thought, you know what? The first meeting I went to, it was incredible what that guy said. But what was more incredible was that in the evening, I went to another meeting, and there was a woman talking about the power of negative thinking. And I was like, that is unbelievable, because my thoughts are just negative all the time. And I got such identification with her that I felt this like little, this thing of being powerless lift a little bit and sort of lift off me for a second. And so I could see like a little bit of distance between that all-encompassing thing called addiction and me as a person in the world, enough to go home and make something to eat. And I thought, okay, I'm going to have to go. There's a meeting at 5 o'clock, probably 6 o'clock now, like now. And so I ran round to this meeting and sat there. And the meeting was, well, I'd say it was huge. There's probably about 30 people there. And, you know, amazing sort of speaker. And the message I could, you know, the thing of staying clear, it was all going great. And then they said, we're into newcomers time. Is there anybody new around in their first 90 days would like to share now? It was almost like this spotlight came on me, and it was almost like everybody was just waiting. And I mean, this is probably my heightened self-obsession, but maybe it wasn't either, because I said, my name's Barry, I'm an addict, and I'm a couple of days clear, or whatever, like that. And everyone, hi, Barry. And then the meeting closed. There was me and someone else spoke, I think, at the end. And almost all of the meeting came around me going like, oh, really great you're here. Really great to see you. Da, 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 da. Here's my phone number. Call whenever. All this sort of stuff. And I was like going, this is unbelievable. You know, I'd gotten used to like people rolling their eyes when I walked in the door, you know, like other addicts and people who knew me and like, oh, what do you want now? This kind of thing. And that was like so encouraging. I went home, you know, and made something to eat and watched the telly and got through Christmas, and everyone came back, and I'm sure they expected the worst, you know, but there I was clean, you know. I started to go to meetings every day because something was happening, you know. And I listened to the suggestions, which was to get a sponsor and work the steps and to attend 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did, you know. And very slowly, like, things started to change. I mean, very slowly. Looking back on it now, you know, I was in the grips of self-obsession for quite a while. And, you know, but what was amazing was around the beginning of getting clean, you know, someone said to me, you can ask your higher power to have the obsession with using removed. And I did. And that's what happened. I believe it did. And from there on, I felt at least that compulsion obsession bit was for the, you know, like I felt it was taken care of enough that I could work through any other things that were going on, you know, that were coming up in the meetings that were freaking me out. And I was hearing all this new information all the time, but, you know, suddenly I was alive to it. And suddenly I wanted like what was going on, you know. And I'd talk to people and go for lunch and I'd go for coffee and on all that sort of stuff. And I lived in a I lived in an area where there was meetings every day, which there are, of course, now, and I pop across the road and go into the Methodist Church, which we called the Methadone Church, of course, and every week, I'd go to a meeting on a Monday lunchtime, which was a first three-step meeting, and every like other week I'd go there and I'd listen to step two, and they'd say that thing, that line in the basic text about like, would it be insane? It would be insane for me to ask for a heart attack, and it took me ages. It took me like, I don't know, maybe a year of hearing it. Like, that wouldn't be insane. That, well, I don't understand it. That it and and of course now, I mean, and after that, I started to hear about that. This is what insanity is. It's the voice of addiction turning like fearful thinking into actions and going down a negative fearful path. And so those meetings were really, really great, because I think what was happening to me is that I was building a foundation. And it's like the old like kind of kid story about you build your house on grass, you build your house on the three little pigs and all that, because big bad wolf's going to come and blow your house down. So anyway, it was just suggested to me that I build a foundation and keep a foundation, with the first three steps, because the winds and the rains are going to come in the form of life on life's terms, which happened for me. Stuff would come up about my parents. People would share about like how they've made amends to their parents, and they'd be having this great time, or we're going out for dinner tonight, and I would go inside, because my parents were dead, and I was like, and it still was so fresh, and all this sort of stuff, and I couldn't deal with it, and things were coming up from my childhood, and I was like, I felt like I couldn't deal with it, and it was too much. But then you go to a meeting and someone would talk about something and go, that's what's been going on, that's what's going on with me. And so all that identification and information, that's being carried would restore my spirit, which addiction wants to just like pull me into the ground, by the feet, and never come back up again. And the solution would be given to me to carry on and work through these things. And then, of course, the first massive fourth step was the thing that really started to move me out of the things that I'd been glued to for all of my life. And I'm refining them, as the years go on, as I said before. And one of the things I look back over was to, the incredible shift that had, and the incredible effect that had on me. I've been really lucky to have the same sponsor for 32 years. I met my sponsor when I was a couple of years clean, because the sponsor I had before relapsed. And this frightened the life out of me, because I only, I'd known him only clean, of course. And I called him up, and his wife answered the phone and told me that he'd relapsed. And she was really frightened, because he was banging on the door, because he knew that there was a £5 note in a tin in the house. And all this stuff was going on, and I, at the same time, I was like going like, well, hang on, sponsors aren't supposed to use again, and of course we're addicts, we're human, people do use again, people get clean again, the whole thing. And so anyway, a few days later, I was in a McDonald's having a burger, and I think it was around, it was only like midday or something like that. And I saw my sponsor, the outline of him, walk up to me and stand next to me. And I looked up, and he was such a disheveled embodiment of the man that I knew in a very short space of time. And he said to me, "Caught you." And I was dumbfounded. And I thought, he projected and transferred the whole thing of his situation, the way he felt about it, onto me, you know. And then to compound that, he said, can you give me 50 pence to get the bus home? It was really painful. It was really painful. And I went to a meeting and said, you know, this is what happened. And someone came up to me and said, well, you know what you've got to do. I said, what? They said, get another sponsor. And they cut out all the emotional and all the stuff that kind of went with that. So, and it wasn't like, you know, much later that I met a guy at a meeting, and I saw him at the market, at the, you know, Camden Market. And we, oh yeah, how you doing? You know, we got talking. He was a few years on from me. I liked what he had, you know, and we were in the same industry, and I kind of knew, we knew some of the same people, and we just got on, you know. And there's something about the way he spoke about things that had this beautiful kind of sensitive insight, which I knew I had somewhere in there, you know. And I really wanted, like, you know, what he had, which is what I was advised to look for, you know. And he was staying clean, and he was working the steps. And so we got into it, and I did my first fifth step, big fifth step with him. And it was really, really amazing. And all, you know, on all the things that we talk about, you know, him identifying with me, or at least talking about some of his stuff, when I was just thinking, this is the thing, I'm going to say this thing now, and he's going to say to me, get out of my house, I don't want to see you ever again, and all this sort of thing, you know. And of course, I've been privileged to, over the years, to hear fifth steps, you know, and I've seen the person reading out their fifth step get to this part of that's caused them so much shame, you know. And I, you know, of course, I'm never going to say get out of the house, you know. I'm going to say that I get it, you know, and I get what's going on. And I mean, it's absolutely incredible. I think the way we are with each other, and the way we support each other. And I think one of the things that's happened to me mainly over the years and getting to where I am now is that I do see that the idea of, you know, praying only for God's will and the power to carry that out, it seems to be the only, it's like my brain has changed into this, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, you know, if I can try and do that. And I don't know if that's just I think it's just, that's just where I'm at, you know. If I go to a meeting, I really want to, if I can, carry a message to the addict who still suffers. And I still suffer, you know. People in this meeting have heard me in tears, in pain, you know, with stuff that's gone on, you know. And that, and then maybe that's carrying a message too, of course, because it's giving, you know, we're giving each other permission to explore our feelings and emotions and this sort of stuff. But I really, you know, that's, for me, it is one of the main drives now, to carry the message. And, you know, trying to, you know, find out what God's will is, and get the power to carry that out in any situation, because it seems to be the only thing. It seems to be the only thing worth going for where I am now, you know. And it, that seems to happen in relations, and, you know, around people. And of course, you know, I'm still at it. You know, the other day I was having the most blissful day. I was like, God, my head's like the first time you step out after the snow stopped. It was beautiful, you know. And I got into the car, and I was doing this errand, and I was like driving back down the coastal road where I live, down the front, and this car comes up to the side of me, and I'm going, oh, hang on a minute, you're supposed to wait, like, you don't just like come in and cut, you know. You can see the signal there, you know, and all this stuff. So anyway, I'm like, what? So I feel like if I don't move into the lane that's turning right, and I don't want to turn right, then I'll get hit by this other car. So I wind down the window and go, like, whoa, hold on. You know, you just hold on a minute. I'll go past. Then you, And the person gave me the finger. And I was like, all spirituality went out of the window. And I'm like, why are they, you don't know, where, you know, and I got rattled for quite a while. And then I was like going, oh, maybe I should just slow down and let them in. And they'll be doing, maybe I'll do that next time. It'll cause me like less bother, you know. But anyway, there are lots of times these days. And that's the other thing where I go, I'm in the moment. My mind feels quite still. I don't have fear at the moment. Then, of course, I do. But there's a lot of times now that I can really see the wood from the trees. And it's beautiful. And I'm like, God, this is amazing. Recovery has given me this. Recovery has given me stillness of spirit. And I just feel blown away by that. I feel amazing. I had glimpses of it all the way through recovery. You know, a couple of years clean, couple of months clean. Come outside of me and it'd been raining. And the streets are shiny like a film set. Something beautiful. Whereas before it just seemed to be this murky, horrible street. Something replaced that. Like looking through another window rather than the one I've been used to looking through all the time so that my addiction can get its commentary running in my head. Oh yeah, look at that. Oh, mate, yeah, look at this. You know. And so I felt really grateful for just having that that moment, and I feel incredibly grateful for what's going on in my life at the moment. I feel really appreciative, more than I've been able to before. You know, it's like it's like finding a little bit of humility rather than going like, oh yeah, well, good. You know, that should happen, you know, and all that sort of stuff is bollocks. So I think, looking at the clock, I'm coming up to 40 minutes, which has felt like 4 minutes. And I've probably not even started to cover some of the things I thought I might talk about, but it's really great to be here. The support I get from the people at Higna is unbelievable. I feel really like amongst, you know, real like-minded people, people who get me, people that I get. I feel, you know, really cherished and supported and that sort of stuff. And if that's in my own head, so be it. But I like coming on, I like seeing the list of people's names and I go, oh, great. You know, not all the time. And of course, but it's really, and what I'm saying is, thank you, you know, to everyone that comes to Higna meetings. I came in the pandemic because I didn't know what else to do, and I found a home. I guess that's what I'm saying, and that's been really fantastic. So I'm going to end there and wish you all a very Merry Christmas, and thank you to Steve and Jay and anyone else who does service at the meeting. Thank you.